Guess what? It's the last and final 1 Samuel audio devotional podcast, and we're ending it with a bang. You're back with Even
Esteban.
Hey, that's pretty good.
We're going Espanol.
Okay, nice. I didn't know you could speak Espanol.
Un poco.
Okay, excuse you.
De nada.
All right, and we're here with one of the all-time
El
greatest.
Jefe.
One of the all-time, okay.
Sorry.
One of the all-time greatest beards of all time.
Yes.
The Jeff Steele.
Yes.
Welcome, Jeff Steele.
Thank you. Thank you. Back from the dead.
Back from the dead, right before Easter.
Exactly.
That's good.
It's seasonal.
It's good having
it's very timely.
You here. That's awesome. Well, we are talking 1 Samuel, and this is our final audio devotional podcast. And so what are some things that God has prompted you with as we've gone through this?
So many things right now, because life is so much in transition.
Yeah.
You know, and 1 Samuel, obviously lots of transitions. The week that I got to teach was that transitional week, right? From prophet, from judge to king, that kind of thing. It's been really interesting too, being kind of on the outside of the podcast, because I've always done podcast episodes. And I could have this time. I mean, you extended the invitation. You weren't like, get out of here, loser. You're not sticking around. Get out.
You had a couple things to do.
I had a few things going on, and so elected not to do that this time. And so that was really good. And I love hearing all the new voices and people coming in and just sharing their insights. And, you know, we say that all the time, that we love having lots of different voices and different things on a podcast like this. And that's really true. And so this was my first time getting to be like not involved. I never looked at the outline to see, you know, what weeks, what we're covering and all that stuff. I just listened. And I listened to Steve Thompson's phone going off. Mine just went off too, but it was on vibrate, so it didn't interrupt us.
This is the only alarm I have that's not on vibrate, and it's time to pray that God would send workers into the harvest field. So there we go. It's a good spiritual
Amen.
Alarm.
God, do it.
Fine. Spiritualize
do it,
Lord. It's encouraging, because anytime you're transitioning out of a place, you're transitioning out of a ministry, you want to know that it's in good hands. Like you've left things in a good place. Good people are taking care of things. And like when we're doing ministry, it feels like it all depends on us. And it feels like if I don't do it, this ball is going to drop. Mm. And until you actually put it down, you actually step away from it, you don't see that it's not going to drop, that other people are going to step in and they're going to step up and they're going to take over, and it's going to carry on just fine without you. Like, they're not going to miss you. Like, as much as you think, oh, I'm so crucial to this. You're really not. When it comes to ministry, it's not your work. It's God's work, and he can do it through anybody that he wants to.
Right.
And so step away. It's okay. It's safe. It's in good hands.
Yeah. All I heard was, I don't have to have a succession plan. God's got it figured out. It'll be fine.
All I heard is, why bother showing up anymore?
Exactly.
But that is a good point. I felt like that was something that I had learned when I had a sabbatical break. For me, it was the kind of the understanding of, I'm not necessary, but I'm needed. Like, I bring something, but I'm not necessary. It's not all on me, kind of a thing.
Yeah.
So that kind of goes with what you're saying. I really appreciate that. And it is cool to have that transition that you've been through, from our staff team now to, you know, you lead your own nonprofit, but also part of Watermark, and having your family there a couple of weeks ago, just filling up multiple rows, you know, which is so fun to see your whole family. It's such a cool thing to see that it's not so much just about a role. It's about being a part of a community and trusting God with what you've done. That is hard to like let go of something, I think.
Like Saul did.
like Saul didn't, really, because that transition plan was in place. You know, the week that I go back to that I spent the most time on was, you know, Samuel transitioning to Saul. And that was a whole shift of leadership. It was a whole shift of organization and everything. And that peaceful transition of power, if you will. And then Saul is installed. And then there really needed to be another transition from Saul to David. And Saul really fought it. And like trying to hang on to that power, trying to hang on to something that wasn't meant to be anymore. you know, and the amount of damage caused by holding on to something too long.
Yeah.
It's just not good. And sometimes for our own sake, our own, I don't know, vanity, our own pride, our own feeling of, I don't know, you can call it a savior complex, you call it whatever you want. You're like, I have to be indispensable. And if I'm not indispensable, then what am I and what's my value? And so to step away from that and say, you know, this is more than me and this is bigger than me, that's really important. Had Saul been able to do that, and to be able to see, okay, God has actually appointed David. David is the next up and coming. I need to work with this plan instead of working against this plan and being threatened by this plan. You know, we look at that in a generational kind of mindset too, like as the senior leaders and like everybody in this room, we're kind of the old guys now. That wasn't the case, you know. I mean, not when you started this church, right. you guys were young.
Early 30s.
You guys were young men.
And we played that card off and people would just excuse our behavior because we were just young guys.
Right. And you're like the up and coming generation.
Sure.
And now we're middle aged. And now I'm not 50 yet, so I'm still the young guy in the room.
Let's rub it in.
So, yeah. But I'm close. Late 40s.
Nice.
Late 40s. Nice. You know, but at a certain point in your like leadership and all that, people stop talking about your potential. Mm-hmm. You don't have potential anymore at 50 years old. Now you're doing it. Now you're leading. And so now you're looking for the people with potential and you're looking right. for, you know, the up and coming. And it's your job to encourage that and to equip that and to transition that someday, because you hold on to it too long and you really stifle
and
that growth. You're right.
You're right. I think that's the thing, is a lot of times people are like, okay, it's time, but you do fight that for a while and you know, it's probably time for them, but they're just not quite ready yet. And I do think it's easy then to double down, try to reinvent yourself, or you try to do something to prove you're still relevant. When in reality, you're just bringing a different gifting, a different skill, and a different kind of presence than you did before, and something that's really needed for those up and coming leaders and or people, right? So that is, you're right. It's so easy to just want to hold on tight and say, I find so much of my value here. Right. I have to keep this.
Right.
I'm thinking for myself, I probably need somebody in my life who I trust that can speak that into my life
right.
to say, dude, I think it's time. Let's look at transition, because otherwise I will be oblivious to it. I think if I realized it, this is me self-analyzing, yeah. of course, I'd be a little bit more likely to let go, but I would be oblivious to it and I'd miss it and I'd have people knowing it long before me. Usually Jessica knows things long before I do.
Right.
That's good.
Yeah.
So you brought up something earlier about a book that was very impacting for you. And it was for me as well. So when you brought it up, I was really excited talking about transition. Tell us a little bit about kind of what came to mind in the midst of this.
Yeah. So, okay. So I served here. Yeah. Let me rewind here a minute. So I served here 10 years. I was on staff at my previous church for 6 or 7 years. And I was about 6.5 years on the staff of a church before that. So 25 years.
So when you go into the Hall of Fame,
exactly.
You're going to wear the watermark logo.
Yeah. Yes, correct.
Okay,
correct.
Cool. I love it.
With the Worship Leader Hall of Fame. I don't think so. So I've been doing this for 25 years, right? Almost didn't make it out of year one because young kid, 22 years old, right? Right out of college, got my first gig, my first worship pastor, you know, ministry, and really a collision course with authority, okay, at 22. Because every 22-year-old knows pretty much everything. Not as much as 18-year-olds know. 18-year-olds know actually everything. And hopefully over the course of like, you know, the next few years, college, you start to learn there are things you don't know. Right. However, pretty confident, those old guys, you know,
it's very easy to recognize all the areas people are missing it.
Yeah. And the world is different. You know, when you're, it's changed, man. Like the way that, okay, grandpa, the way that you did things, you know, my kids ask me now, like, what was it like in the 1900s? That's what they call it. You know, like the world has changed and every young generation feels like it's different now. The world is different. It should now it plays by our rules. And so as a 22-year-old, I really unknowingly kind of ran into that. And so my first ministry like was good for a very long time, but it started out really rough. And so I was seeking counsel from some of my professors and stuff in college. And one of them recommended this book. It's called A Tale of Three Kings. And A Tale of Three Kings is the story of three kings, Saul, then David, and then Absalom, David's son.
Yeah.
And it's all through all that we've just been reading, all that we've just been talking about. And the idea is that the generational piece, that authority piece, that how do you serve in a place or in a way where the leadership, it's the old guys and they don't get it. And how do you know, like, how do you be submissive? How do you stand up for what's right? And looking to David and Saul for the story of David and Saul primarily for how that works. And David, in the book, David comes down to a pretty simple rule that he follows, and that is you don't touch the Lord's anointed. Saul is the Lord's anointed. God installed Saul as the king, as the leader, and me as, even though I've also been anointed for years, so David was anointed, the heir apparent to the throne, and yet he has the opportunity to kill Saul. He doesn't multiple times. He has this, he serves Saul, even though Saul has quite literally lost his mind. And so he's in this role where he is better than Saul. He is God's favored one, and yet he submits himself to this authority and to this leadership because that's the Lord's anointed one. And there is something formative in David in that, in submitting to authority, that really develops his character. And so the story, the book, as they write it, is all about that relationship between authority, anointing, gifting, and kind of what do you do with that?
Yeah.
And that was really instructive for me as a 22-year-old punk kid out of college who already knew how to do everything.
Right.
You had to scrap your assassination plans really quick.
I did. Called off the dogs there on that one.
Did that change the tone of your interactions then there?
It did. Because you don't, when you know you're right, there is a tone that you take on, or there's an attitude that you can take on. And when you know that that doesn't matter as much as your character or your expression or the way that you interact, then you can change that a little bit to say, okay, listen, and not even like, okay, I know I'm right, but I'm going to go along with it anyway. Not in that way, but in a like, okay, there is something formative for me in this. There is something that God is going to do through this, through my submission to authority and my openness to what God is doing versus the way that I think it should go. There is something in that that develops you as a younger person.
I think what's in this book, it's a book by a guy named Gene Edwards. For me, I was leaving a very difficult ministry situation and really struggling. I sat down in a bookshop and read through this book, and I remember like crying as I was reading it. It was like healing and bringing up all kinds of stuff, and I wasn't at that time very open with my emotions, but this book was really helpful. In it, he talks about recognizing the Saul in you and having that Saul die. And one of the quotes is that God wants to give you his power, but first he must make sure the Saul in you is dead, and wanting to purify that out, burn that out of you. I thought that just fit really well with what you had just shared about that formation that took place for David between David and Saul.
Yeah. And a recognition, it's hard as a younger person to recognize, you know what? God worked through Saul. He really did. Even though Saul went way off the rails, like God installed this person, and there's almost like that anointing, that blessing, whatever, it lingers and works even after that person has really kind of lost their way. And that seems so bizarre to us because I sometimes wonder how this book holds up in 2025, right? Like just cancel Saul. He's crazy. Sure. Let's just get him out of here. Well, it's not quite that simple because there is still like God is doing something even through this mess. And we just, that's so hard to reconcile. And so to be able to take a step back and say, okay, what is God doing here? I'm not going to lift my hand against the Lord's anointed. Doesn't mean I'm going to go along with this crazy plan that he's got, you know, but I can't just rebel, and I can't just, you know, overthrow him either. And that's hard. And that's very countercultural, to the world, I think, as we see it now.
It's reminding me of the proverb that I read this morning, and this is out of chapter 3, which is the infamous, trust in the Lord with all your heart, do not depend on your own understanding. Seek his will in all you do, and he will show you which path to take. But then just a couple of verses down, my child, don't reject the Lord's discipline, and don't be upset when he corrects you. For the Lord corrects those he loves, just as a father corrects a child in whom he delights. And so God, just how God uses pain, and we'd like things to be very black and white, but I love what you're saying, Jeff, because it's absolutely true. The sooner we can learn to look for where God is at work in our pain or in what's broken, I think the sooner we can partner with him then in it. And it just shifts everything about how we react.
So as we're kind of turning a corner here for you, Jeff, like what would be kind of a little encouragement for all the listeners today?
Yeah, I would take some encouragement from the expectation, the belief that God can be doing something in the worst of circumstances, that something can be happening there. I mean, before we started recording, we were talking about some pretty awful kind of experiences that we're dealing with just through foster care and stuff. And after being in that world for almost 15 years, like we've seen a lot and heard a lot of really awful things. And you think, how do we just even allow that kind of thing? And it's not just a glib, you know, like, well, you know, God brings good out of bad. Like, okay, sure. But it's not that simple either. And to look at the world and to look at the world and circumstances to be in chaos around you and think, okay, there's no way God can do something out of this. There's nothing to be learned here except for we got to overthrow, or we got to, you know, overthrow Saul, and we got to get rid. There's nothing to be learned. And I don't know that that's necessarily true, because if you read the Old Testament, the things that happen and that the nation did, David himself was not an angel. I mean, the dude eventually replaced Saul, but there's a lot of Saul in David. Also, there are a lot of things that David did that were just as bad. And you're like, how is it that every time something good is happening, something bad goes with it? You know, and that's just how the world seems to work. And I can't make sense of it and why and how and all that stuff. But to know that that's how it's always been, and that God is at work in that. And so you look at your circumstances and you think, there's no way God can redeem this. There's no way. And what if he can? What if he can redeem it? What if he can bring something good out of it? And I don't mean that in just an easy, you know, just trust God and everything will be okay. It's hard. It's really hard. And yet God seems to take things that are dust and ashes and dead and turn them into life somehow. And how that happens is beyond me. It's a mystery. It's a miracle. It's beyond anything that we can do or muster up on our own, but something we can only hope for and trust. And you see a lot of that in David. He's lost everything multiple times, and he's following something, and people have to be telling him he's crazy. You are crazy to keep holding on and to keep hoping. I mean, just kill the guy. It's not that hard. He's right there. And yet David is hanging on to something. He's hanging on to an idea, an ideal, to say that that's not how the Lord's anointed works. And we need to hang on to that a little bit longer.
Yeah, that's really good. All right, Tom, so why don't you close us out in prayer? Thanks, Jeff, so much for being here today and sharing, and also for your years of serving our faith family in that way, but also inviting us to serve alongside you in the incredible ministry of Kids Belong that you're a part of.
So. For sure. Thanks.
Yeah. Yeah. Your wisdom always gets to me, so I appreciate that. So, Father God, honestly, I pray for a deep humility of heart for all of us here in this room, listening to this podcast. Lord, we don't know it all. We don't have your perspective. And probably a lot of the time, all we feel is the pain or the frustration. The indignancy if that's a word, all of that, Lord, because it's just, we know it's not supposed to be the way it currently is, but we do know that you're going to change it. And we do know that you can, as Jeff was just saying, bring good and life and healing and hope out of that which was intended for evil. And so, Lord, in the situations and circumstances around us, Lord, we pause and we ask, would you show us where you're at work, or maybe where you're just speaking and telling us to sit and wait and trust. But Lord, we long to hear from you in this. We need to hear from you. But Father, we take a humble position and just say, we don't have the answers. We don't know what you're doing, but we want to follow you wherever that is. So we praise you. Thank you. You've blessed us with so much. We're thankful for the health that we have, for those of us who have it. We're thankful for the loved ones that you've surrounded us with. And we thank you that you are continuing to speak and lead and will, in fact, bring your kingdom in all its goodness and fullness. So come, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen. And friends are friends forever.
If the Lord's a Lord of them.
And a friend will not say
never.
Wow.